Hello, and a warm welcome to Celebrating Success. Thank you for joining me. I'm Pauline Barclay, author of 9 published books. My latest is a cozy mystery, Past Secrets and Lies, the second in the Gardner and Chataway Cozy Mystery series. I'm also the founder of Chill Awards for Independent Authors. Celebrating Success is about meeting a variety of people from all walks of life and interests. Today on Celebrating Success, I am delighted to be talking to Tom Cousins. Tom is a director of lettings for Woodlands Lettings and estate agents in Redhill, Surrey, England. Tom has been in the letting business for over 20 years and he has seen many changes during that time. Away from the office, Tom is an avid film fan and loves to travel. So please sit back and enjoy meeting my lovely guest. Hi, Tom. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Hi, and thanks for inviting me.
It's a delight. As you know, I cover lots of different things on Celebrating Success. And one of the things is your success in the commercial world of lettings. In fact, You're a director of quite a large company in Redhill, Surrey, England. So tell me a little bit about your background and about the lettings market these days.
It's a job that I wasn't intending on doing. It wasn't something that I wanted to aspire to be in, but I kind of fell into it. I was never really a salesy sort of person, so to end up in a very much a sales type environment was probably not where everyone expected me to be. But it seems fit. And it's been that way for, well, I don't like to say it really, but over 20 years now. So.
Well, you must have seen lots of changes in 20 years.
Yeah, well, when I first entered into it was sort of 2007, 2008, where there was sort of the recession, the big boom for the lettings market was just really taking off at that point. That's when I really got into the letting side of things, and it's been sort of great guns ever since, really. And the market has changed a lot. It's one of those jobs where nothing ever stays the same
for a long time. It's changed a lot. Is it the different properties are on the market, or is legislation different? Are the tenants different, landlords different?
Yeah, so, the market changes when legislation changes. The market changes when people's habits change. So, obviously, before Brexit, there was a lot of people that lived abroad. So, we had a lot of landlords that rented their homes out whilst they moved abroad. Now that's all changed. They're all coming back and doing different things. So, you know, the market changes again where it starts.
Does that mean there's lesser properties on the market, or just are they taking their properties back if they're coming back from abroad?
So a lot of them take the properties back. Their circumstances change, so they need to come back to their family homes. The pandemic changed everything. That's the landscape of the market changed completely for everyone. The stock levels, they did plummet, and they are still very low, but there's a lot of changes with legislation. There's a lot of focus from the government on, the housing market and trying to improve it. And most of that focus is on lettings at the moment. It's a very politically hot topic, and that also influences a lot of landlords as to their decision of what they're going to do with their rented properties. And in a lot of those cases, it means they choose to sell and come out of the market. So there's always those changes that we have to keep up with, and that's been the same from the early 2000s when I first got into it, through the recession period in the 2008 sort of area, and then onwards from there, and it's still going on.
So, do you think it's a good time for people to consider getting into lettings? Buy a property, rent it out. There used to be a lot of buy to let. Is that still happening?
Yeah, so the buy-to-let market probably has taken quite a significant dip. We don't see a lot of investors coming to the market, new investors coming to the market. But from my point of view, the letting market is still very strong. It's still very safe, but it's not the quick buck that a lot of people used to think it was. It's a long-term game. So if you're looking for something that you want to invest in terms of your long-term future, your pensions, that sort of thing, then it's great. It's the perfect thing, and it is ideal. But if you're looking for something that you can turn around quite quickly, make a bit of money out of quite quickly, that's not really where lettings is anymore. You've probably missed the boat by about 10 years on that.
So. Right, so Youngby buy to let should look long-term, not short-term anymore.
Absolutely, yeah, it's definitely a long game now. It's not the quick and easy income stream that it was a while ago. But no, if you're looking for something that you want to invest in, then that is lettings.
Right, and so, and of course, the positive side against that is the properties appreciating year on year. Generally speaking, property doesn't really plummet. And that you lose money, you tend to gain money over a period of time. So the longer a landlord keeps a property, the more he's going to get at the end of it. As you say, if it's for a pension pot.
Yeah, exactly that. And you know, I would, you know, one of the things that I would love Woodlands to be for all of our clients is the one-stop shop for any property information that you need, any property advice that you need. All of our clients, if they have a question about sales, if they're considering whether they want to sell the property, if they want to look at all their options, I want to be that place that they can come to explore all that.
I would never do sales as well, don't you? Sorry, I'm interrupting you. You also do sales as well as letting, so you can cover both angles on the market.
Yes, yeah, and I'm not adverse to passing our clients over to our sales team. I'm more than happy to do that, because at the end of the day, it's your biggest investment. You know, property is the biggest purchase that anyone will ever make in their life, most likely. And, you know, that has to be taken seriously. And as much as a landlord saying to me, oh, I'm thinking of selling my property, means that I'm not going to have a property to let in the future, that doesn't matter. It's the greater scheme of things. And we aim to be the one-stop shop for everything to do with property. And yes, I work specifically in lettings, but yeah, we do have a sales team that will always jump in and help out as and when needed.
Right. And I think your company does a monthly newsletter to your landlords. I saw one the other day you'd sent to one of your clients, and it was quite informative. Is that something new to your company?
Yeah, so during the pandemic, I mean, the pandemic changed a lot of things in terms of the market itself, but also gave us a real opportunity to look at how we as a company can look after our clients a lot more, look after our tenants, and, you know, one of the most important things for our clients is information, communication. Things change so rapidly and so quickly in this market and so often that, you know, it's very easy for a landlord to miss certain things or misunderstand certain things. And so our job, from what I see, is to try and clarify those points as clearly and easily and quickly as possible. And so, yeah, the newsletter kind of came about a little bit of a test at the beginning to see whether landlords were responding to it, whether they were happy with it. And it was almost instant. You know, as soon as we sent the first one out during the pandemic, it had such a positive response, and it's grown and grown and grown since then. And we have a bit of fun with it now. I mean, we did our first meet the team in the last one, which I had to volunteer myself to go first, but it has opened the floodgates for everyone else in the team to think, oh, I'll give that a go and get on the next one. So it's good. It kind of connects us with our clients a bit more as well.
Yeah, and in fact, you're quite right. On the one I actually saw, you did in fact introduce yourself hence why I invited you to come along, because having read about you, I thought, perfect chappie for our podcasting. And of course, from that, I learned that you're an avid film fan.
Yes. Yeah, so everybody has their sort of school childhood dreams, and mine was to be a film director. I was going to be winning Oscars and directing blockbusters by the time I was 38. That wasn't meant to be, but I'm a big film fan. I've always been interested in that side of things, more of the creative side than, you know, being in front of the camera is not really where I wanted to be. But I had a passion for writing. I liked the sort of technical side of it more than anything. I have a very wide, strange taste in films, some people might say, but there's nothing really that I won't watch. So,
What's the latest film you've watched?
It's a bit of a bog standard one, the Top Gun Maverick film. But it's great. It took me back to the 80s, which was nice. So.
Yeah, I've heard quite a lot about that film. I haven't seen them or the other ones, but yes, I heard this latest one was a good one.
Yes, no, absolutely. Well worth seeing.
And when you're not filming, you like to travel. Well, tell us a little bit about your travelling.
Yeah, so I started in this industry sort of early 2000s, and then I had a little bit of a small career break where I went to live and work in Canada for a year. And that kind of gave me the bug for traveling. Again, something completely off what I would normally do. And I think everyone kind of looked at me a bit weirdly when I said, oh, I'm taking a break from work and I'm leaving to go to another country in about 6 weeks. And I think everyone was like, oh, okay, that's really unexpected. And admittedly, when I got off the plane at the other end and got on the coach to my temporary accommodation, I did sit there and think, what have I done? Why am I here? The initial sort of 3 or 4 weeks was a little bit wobbly, and I was a bit sort of wondering what I was actually doing, and I had nowhere to live and no job or anything like that. But it was amazing.
So that was a brave thing to do, just to set off to another country and then, take it from there.
Yeah, it was completely, I'm a very planned, very coordinated, like to know kind of where everything is, that I like to be prepared. So this was very out of character, but it was something which, it sounds a bit cliche, but it was one of those situations where I really did find out myself. I tested my mettle a bit and realised that actually, you know, the world's a big place and you could go anywhere and do anything you want, really. Since then, it's just been a case of travelling around a bit. My family live in Spain, so I travel to and from Spain quite a lot, which sounds way more luxurious than it actually is. it's nice to have somewhere where I can go for a long weekend on a fairly short notice basis. Anywhere that I can go, I'm quite happy. I'm not one of those people that has to be in the top end hotels or anything. I'm quite happy slumming it in hostels and things like that. It's you know,
you've got a bag and a
roof, you're away. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a rucksack on my back and I'm off. So yeah.
Oh, great! And one of the other things that came out from reading your bio in your newsletter was that you're very passionate about kindness and positivity, and I think more so today that is very important. And if everybody just had one of those, it would make the world a better place. But tell me why. What do you mean about kindness and positivity? Explain, please.
Again, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of take for granted until something major happens. And obviously, you know, the pandemic was something that really affected just everybody in all different forms. It didn't matter who you were. It had a very detrimental effect on people. And, you know, the business that we're in, it has a fairly negative perception amongst, you know, the public. People think estate agents are certain ways and certain things, but actually, you know, we have a very important role to play with people's lives. You know, people are moving, which is stressful. And as I try to instill with my team of people is, you know, we need to look at everybody independently and look at all their situations individually. And, you know, somebody might be moving from abroad to a completely new country. They don't know anything. They need a bit of extra help. They need a bit of extra assistance. You might have a landlord who didn't want to be a landlord, but they've inherited a property because of, you know, maybe the passing of a parent or something like that. And it's a lot of emotional baggage that comes with this job. And I think showing a little bit of kindness and a little bit of patience and just trying to be a little bit better in everyday things, it really does make a difference to people. And I mean, I held a whole team meeting back in April, and the main focus of it was customer service and being kind and nice to people. And it is just little things, coming into work and just noticing somebody's got a new haircut and saying, oh, your hair looks nice. And, oh, that jumper you're wearing today looks really nice. You know, little things like that can completely change somebody's day. And it's those little moments that I think are really, really important. And
I totally agree with you, Tom. I think if people could just show that little bit, those few words, changes people's perception of the day. We have a local shop. It's a very large shop. And it's quite a discount shop that sells everything. And doesn't matter whether it's a pandemic or not, they're polite, helpful, and every time they wish you a lovely day. And it doesn't matter what age they are, because a lot of my youngsters, whichever age group they are all in, the final thing is, thank you and have a lovely day. And that just makes a difference when you go shopping.
Absolutely does. And it's, you know, it's a time in the world at the moment where saying something nice or doing something nice stands out more. And it really shouldn't. It shouldn't be that way. That should be the norm. But, you know, it really does, you know, make people think, oh, actually, that was really nice. And it's like, well, that should just be normal. That should just be the way things are. I would much rather walk into the office and see one of my team members sitting with a client or a tenant, having a cup of tea and chatting about the weather, and just having a nice informal talk, making that person feel comfortable, you know, rather than thinking I walk in and they all feel like they've got to be on their computers looking like they're doing work and you know, that's it for the day. It's constant, because that's not life. Life has to be, we're people, and we have to accept that, you know, everybody's different and we should all
everybody
be a bit
have different issues. They're dealing with their own issues. They have their own crises. You don't know what those are when you speak to them. So if they're grumpy, they might not be normally grumpy, but they've got something in their life that's causing them to feel not so good. So having a smile, a friendly hello changes the entire thank you, because you've made a lovely guest appearance. Thoroughly enjoyed having you.
Anytime. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you, Tom, for joining me. And thank you to all my listeners. I hope you enjoyed meeting Tom as much as I did. You can find out more about Tom and Woodlands by visiting their website, www.woodlands-estates.co.uk. As always, a huge thank you for joining me, and I can't wait to share your company again very soon. Until next time, I hope the sun is shining on your face and in your heart. Ta-ta from me, Pauline Barclay, and you can find out more about me on my website, www.paulinebarclay.co.uk. Bye.